It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Play action from Purdy. This is picked. That's Joseph again. His second of the night. His ninth of the year.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Joe Buck on the call. Fox Sports. Check that. Not Fox Sports anymore. ESPN. That was a fumble. That was an interception by me, a la Brock Purdy twice yesterday. Joe Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. Just when it rains, it pours. I think I've used that expression, Joe Shasky, at least 20 different times on my show, The Pregame Show, Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. And you just come away from that game. Amazing first half. Neither of these teams has anything to play for yesterday. The Lions, they didn't need to play anybody, but they did. They played all their starters. They played Jared Goff. They played Jahmyr Gibbs. They played Jamison Williams, Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They all looked like the machine that they've been. They only have two losses on the year for a reason. And there was an inspired 49ers team in that first half where I was saying to myself, wow, this is encouraging. They're actually doing all the things that you and I were discussing yesterday that they should be doing. I want to see more from Nick Bosa. We saw that. We saw some sacks. I want to see more from Ricky Pearsall. Can he do anything? He did do a lot of good things. Can we continue to feed George Kittle? They did that. Brock Purdy, just don't get hurt. And then what happens? There's going to be a lot of hindsight radio from a lot of fans today. And you know what? I'm not going to be mad at you or upset at you. I just want to throw the phone lines at you at 888-957-9570. The loss is the loss. It's just how it happened in that second half, Joe Shasky, for me. And it culminated in more questions than answers when it came now to Brock Purdy's elbow. They're saying there's no UCL damage. They're saying it's okay. They're going to get imaging done today. Whenever breaking news happens, we will relay it to you. But 888-957-9570. I know I'm long-winded here to start, though, Joe Shasky. 40-34 the final. The Detroit Lions improved to 14-2. Niners fall to 6-10. They could be no better than the 11th overall pick in the upcoming draft. And that's kind of where the season is now. And we're going to await the news on Brock Purdy and how that affects his contract status going forward.
It's just 2024, the day before New Year's Eve, it felt like the 2024 year in totality for the San Francisco 49ers is one of the biggest nightmares I can ever remember. Just the whole year, from losing the Super Bowl to losing your superstar running back, losing your brandly minted wide receiver one, Deebo Samuel falling off a milk carton, your kicker is one of the worst kickers in franchise history, and that's saying something when you have no great franchise kicker. Your defensive coordinator should have been fired probably 7 or 8 weeks ago. I mean, he's horrific. You've got the GM punching air in the press box. I mean, it's a complete unmitigated disaster. And then your quarterback, it was a microcosm. This game was a microcosm of the year Brock's had. Sprinkles of brilliance, really good play. And then the second half comes around, and the team just completely craters, and they blow a lead. And then, not only do they blow a lead, they have an opportunity to salvage it, and the thing that this guy hangs his hat on, accuracy, boom, let me airmail one. Not one, but two, back-to-back interceptions, because one gets wiped away because of a defensive penalty, and quite frankly, it was a horrific overthrow. Horrific overthrow. And then he throws another interception after the two back-to-backs with the one negated, that basically ends your season. And then he's out there down two scores. All right. And look, I we'll get why. And in this and the other, he's down and he gets hit on a very, like, I know any play could be your last play, but it wasn't like he got Pepper Johnson. Okay. Leonard Marshall for the older people where Montana's rolling out in the 1990 NFC Championship game and gets his back splattered. Like he got hit with a shotgun.
It wasn't a Drew Bledsoe type of a hit. No,
it was. No, it wasn't anything like that. It was just a normal tackle, I guess, if there is such a thing.
Even on the broadcast, they were questioning Buck and Aikman. They're like, I don't know where he got hurt. Like they were just like the hand? Is it the elbow? But and we'll hear from Brock Purdy. We'll hear from Kyle Shanahan. We'll hear from all the players after the game. But yeah, you're right, Joe. Like it didn't look vicious.
No. And then like, which brings its own level of concern. And it's like, look, on this level, like I feel really bad for Brock Purdy. I don't know if he's hurt. We'll find out whether like the severity of it, everything. It didn't look good. And I certainly didn't like his body reaction on the sidelines. And you know, it's going to mask that he played horrible again in the second half, which sucks, right? It does. And yes, the kicker let him down, and the defense can't stop a freaking nosebleed, and he's playing in front of a patchwork offensive line. All those things are true. But you know what? Part of being a great franchise quarterback is that you're going to go 3, 4, 5 week stretches, and sometimes it's a whole year where you got to eat a poop sandwich. You just do. Like, if you're one of the quarterbacks that's lucky enough to play a decade in this league as a starter, there are years that you can't control. And I thought he was excellent, and Shanahan was excellent until they got a lead, and it was about 5 minutes to go in the third quarter, and it just all fell apart. And it was a total microcosm of 2024. And now we're sitting here on New Year's Eve as the year is about to like wrap up.
Does it feel like New Year's Eve, by the way? It doesn't after that loss. By the way,
this year over so bad.
By the way, two horrible losses. You think you want this year over? The Niners do. I think the Golden State Warriors do as well. What a tumultuous season this has been. I know, but two bad losses yesterday in the Bay Area. One of them on our airways. Cavs 113, Warriors 95. Maybe we've got to have a Stephen Curry conversation at some point too. But right now, we want to take your calls at 888-957-9570. And shout out to those watching on YouTube. Joe Shasky, brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. We are streaming on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. It's just, for everything last year that went right for the 49ers and last season, I'll say, everything's just gone wrong this year.
It's been horrible.
For every good luck opportunity, for every healthy player that they were able to have, a healthy season of Christian McCaffrey, I know how it ended with Dre Greenlaw in the final game of the Super Bowl, but for the most part, they were amazingly healthy last year. You had Mr. Irrelevant being an MVP candidate last year. You had the offensive player of the year. You had the best tight end in football. You had second team all pro in Brandon Ayuk. You had all these things going for you last year. You get to overtime against the defending champs. You were so damn close. And then it all went to, as you said, a poop sandwich.
It's just
kind of what it is.
It's been incredible. And like, I look at Shanahan, it's like, where's this been all year? Like, we got so many elements we can get into. The kicker, the poor guy, look. Like, let's just start with the kicker real quick. Let's just get this out of the way.
It is what it
is. Jake Moody is horrific.
Yeah.
You can't defend it. You can't defend the third-round pick. You can't defend the player anymore. At one point, he was 3 of 15 from 40-plus yards since week 3. 3 of 15. He missed an extra point. He missed two field goals. Why is Shanahan even kicking the second one, the 58-yarder? It was like, I know it was 4th and 10, but like, what are we doing? Like, on 3rd and 10, you know where you're at on the field. You got to cut that thing down. You can't be throwing a 15-yard pass in that situation. Get 5 or 6, we're going for this. My kicker has zero faith. And the poor guy, he's a child. He's a young man. I know that you could serve our country and you could die for our country at 21. He's a young man. I feel bad for him. He should not be kicking for the Niners anymore. I mean, both can be true.
It's okay. Like, we know what kickers are in the NFL. If people are calling for Justin Tucker, if Ravens fans are calling for the greatest kicker of all time, and he's looked pedestrian at best at times, and he's missing extra points, like, it's okay to say, Jake Moody, you're not it, dude. Like, right. That's the nature of the position, and he should understand that. And credit to the real leader of this team throughout all season with his play on and off the field and what he's had to say is George Kittle.
I totally agree. Because
he even went to him, put his arm around him. Hey, man, are you feeling confident? Jake's like, yeah, I feel confident. He's like, then I got confidence in you. And that's a good leader, and that's something I want to highlight today because with everything that's gone wrong, and yeah, we want to move past this season and this year as it is New Year's Eve, I want to highlight George freaking Kittle, who's going to be first-team All-Pro, if not second-team. It's going to be either him or Brock Bowers. I look at the stats and what he's been able to do with fewer receptions compared to Brock Bowers is amazing. He has double the touchdowns. So in a season that's gone wrong, George Kittle has at least shown to be the bright light. And if you can, and I know there's rumors and rumblings that he's going to get extended, God, that would be a great little consolation to this season, extending a guy like that and making sure he stays in a Niners uniform for the rest of his career. But that was just kind of it, right? You've had the duality of man I like to go to. Shout out Private Joker and Full Metal Jacket. The duality of man, sir. You've had one teammate in Deebo Samuel go after him, go after Jake Moody, go after the long snapper, Tabor Pepper, going at each other. And then you had one guy and George Kittle put his arm around him. And it feels like it's just, you're tugging at both heartstrings here. And Jake, you just got to rip off the Band-Aid. You know, you got a kid. You're going to be able to do it at one point. Joe Shiasky, put the Band-Aid on. It's been a little while. You got to rip that thing off.
As a coach, I have a line. Come sit on the bench. Let's talk.
Yeah.
Let's have a man-to-man, right? And I don't care if you're 10, 17, 23.
Any relationship, it doesn't matter. When it's we need to talk, whether it's a girlfriend, whether it's a boss.
It's just over.
It's night-night.
And I would say the same thing for Nick Sorensen. Nick Sorensen, it's over. I'm being dead serious. And this is, you know, Tim Kawakami got approached apparently by Jed York prior to the game.
Oh.
And he reassured everyone that Shanahan and John Lynch, they're, you know, positions or whatever are safe. They're not going to get fired. No, of course they're not going to get fired. I thought Kyle was brilliant yesterday, again. And with the game on the line, the thing that the quarterback hangs his hat on, accuracy and anticipation and feel and decision-making, it all went awry. You know, Kyle can't throw passes for this young man. And we have to have an honest conversation about what Brock Purdy has been this year, which is brilliance sprinkled in with some horrible late-game execution. Rams game, devastating pick to end the game. Dolphin game, devastating pick to end the game. This game, devastating multiple picks to end the game. And then he gets hurt. So I have questions on his body. I have questions on his decision-making late in games. And we can go prior to earlier in the season. I'm just going off of what's happened lately. Do I like the guy? Of course I like the guy. I really like the guy. But you know what I like? I like the man.
I'm happy with Brock Purdy.
No. Don't even do that today. Because this is the thing. When you're playing quarterback in the NFL, you have to be the man on the team. And I understand that there's stages to that, right?
Exactly.
When you're in the embryonic stage, you're in that embryonic stage, you're not going to be the man right away. And there are certain teams that you go to where there are other men that are set up in place. Yeah. But I'm watching a guy right now in Brock Purdy, the poor guy, the best play he had was that scramble run. He had a couple of great throws. I want to be real. Great throws in this game. That scramble run was old Brock. It was like, wow, that's the confident Brock in the red zone. He boom, 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 and then ran decisively. And then I don't know what happens in the second half, but the separator from the good quarterbacks to the great quarterbacks is when the whole stadium knows you need to drop back and pass and win the game with your arm, can you do it? And right now, the evidence for this season is that he can't do it. And now I got question marks on the elbow and the shoulder and the arm and all that. It's just, he's not the man right now. Does he deserve a pay raise? Yeah, at some point. But the money can all go to the side. I got way more question marks on this guy right now. Long-term health, decision-making, arm strength, you know, accuracy in the fourth quarter. He's crumbling.
And the biggest question mark right now is his elbow. And whatever news comes out, we'll relay the information here. Again, they're saying the UCL checked out. They did some tests. Looks okay. They're going to do some imaging today in regards to Brock Purdy's elbow. But you're right. For a guy that already had limited arm strength coming out of Iowa State, that's why he was drafted in the seventh round. That's why he was the last pick in the draft. Size, stature. But also a reason why he was drafted was because he turned the ball over a lot in college. And we're seeing that a little bit here. Again, for everything that was going right last season, it's going wrong this season. Health-wise, everything going right last year. They found ways to win last season. Now they're finding ways to lose constantly, and that's what's concerning to me, finding ways to lose. Because that was a game, I'm not going to say you should have won. I'm not going to give, the Niners aren't in that position where I'm not going to say they should have won this. No. They could have won it, but they didn't. And that was the difference yesterday. Jared Goff and Brock Purdy were neck and neck. They looked, there was a point there was just no completions. I think up until the second quarter or something ridiculous. They were both on fire. It was between Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, and Kyle Shanahan. It was a play sheet measuring contest, if you will, if you get my analogy there. Between those guys, what they were able to scheme up, the hook and ladders.
Ben Johnson was incredible.
It was incredible.
Incredible.
And he's going to be a head coach, and he's probably going to be at the Bears or whomever, and it's going to be great. Aaron Glenn, maybe. I know he doesn't have what Ben Johnson has to work with on the offensive side, defensive coordinator for the Detroit Lions, but he even, I thought, had some good play calls in that second half, trying to get some pressure on him, trying to disguise some blitzes on Purdy, and to Brock, it was just not even the blitzes or pressure, it was just, what were those throws?
Well, the one to Pearsall over the middle, the safety's just sitting there the whole play, and Troy Aikman's like, what are you doing?
Real quick, you said that, over the middle, That's where Brock Purdy and this Kyle Shanahan passing offense lives. So it's one thing, because I don't think much of his arm strength. So like when he's thrown outside the numbers and it's a floater and it gets picked, it's like, okay, that's a lack of physicality, yeah, right,
like
there.
The Juwan Jennings throw over to the sideline right before the Moody miss. Yes. He just fluttered one out there.
Yeah, and Troy Aikman talked about it on the broadcast. God, I love when Troy Aikman's on the broadcast.
He's so authentic.
He's just so good. Say what you will about, like, and I know we all have, oh, he was an overrated quarterback. No, he's a Hall of Famer. Guy knows what he's talking about, and he's very good at talking about it. When I listen to a guy like Tom Brady, who's still learning how to speak on a broadcast and stuff like that, it's so refreshing to hear a Troy Aikman, who's a seasoned pro, both as an actual player of the game and a broadcaster, when he's talking about both these quarterbacks and Jared Goff and Brock Purdy, who we both talked about in the game, are very similar with their skill sets. Yeah. Arm strength wise, I think Jared's a little bit stronger. He's not as mobile as Brock.
I thought he did a good job moving around, because I thought Bosa,
he was hounding him.
We could rip Bosa until we're blue in the face for a lot of things. Thought Bosa played his butt off. And again, a question, same thing I'd say about Ricky Pearsall. Thank God we saw something from Ricky Pearsall. He looked great. But where's that been last month?
Where's a lot of that been?
Bosa been the last month?
Where's Pearsall? Where's Purdy been? We know where
Bosa was incredible.
I mean, did Deebo Samuel do anything in the passing game yesterday?
Deebo had actually a couple of really nice runs early in the game.
He had good kick returns.
Well, I think that was one of the things. I look at the Shanahan offense. There's still a lot of yards to be had. That Detroit defense, they were gashing them. But you can't turn it over. You cannot airmail the ball in the middle of the field. Look, remove the defense for a second, right? The defense is. I'm not blaming Brock Purdy, but in that game, Jared Goff knows his defense sucks. Jared Goff knows he cannot turn the ball over. Nope. He did not have one turnover-worthy throw yesterday.
Nope.
Everything that, even if he was missing, it felt like he was missing on purpose low to kind of just get to the next play. And Purdy airmails the one in just the middle of nowhere. And then the other throw where the safety just sat there and read it the entire way. It's like, we can't have those plays. And I know the kicker left 6 points on the board. All right. All of that is true. The defense can't stop a nosebleed. I need to fire the defensive coordinator. I need a full schematic change on defense. Like, all of that is true. Simultaneously, after a brilliant first half where he could run the ball and they were throwing it and they were gashing him and doing everything, the quarterback crumbled in the second half again. And then he got hurt. Joe, this is not good.
It's not good. It's also, listen, if it's good news on the elbow today, I still don't think he should play in the final game of the season. That's something we can get to as well. And 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. The Comcast Biz text line. Mark and Indy, Philmo, Mike. I see both of you guys. We're going to get to you here in a second.
They did the chicken. They did the chicken dance on us.
Merton Hanks. Should we reach out to Merton? See how he felt about that? That's a tough look, man. And again, they went to Troy Aikman. He's like, yeah, he picked me off a couple times. I'm having flashbacks of that celebration. By the way,
possibly
Kirby Joseph should have had three picks because, well, technically two were back to back. Like,
but he slipped on one where it brought the right to him. Yeah, I know exactly the player you're talking about. Before he threw the second pick, actually. Brian Baldinger, 7:30 today. Baldy breakdowns at 7:30. Joe Shasky, as all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. That's where Baldy's going to be joining us. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? So we'll talk to Baldy at 7:30 here and just get his thoughts overall on Brock, on Ricky Pearsall. And then the last week he joined Hutchinson and Lubman, who were filling in for Bonte and yourself. And he was saying he'd give Ricky an incomplete grade. Well, I'm giving him an A last night.
Played awesome.
He played. He was amazing.
Played awesome.
He was great. He was fighting through some not great coverage. I'm not going to go out here and say it was the greatest defense we've ever seen. By the way, that Detroit Lions defense, yikes. Like, good luck against Minnesota next week, even though you're at home. Like, Jared Goff, he has to be perfect every single week for them.
They have to score 50.
Yes.
They have to, and they almost did.
And we saw that against the Buffalo Bills a few weeks ago. Like, it was just a shootout after. It was just, that's the game, and it's amazing they're 14-2, by the way, just given where this defense is, losing all those players. This 49ers team, I tell you this, Joe Shasky.
This year can't end quick enough.
This is going to be the most difficult offseason in the history of the Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch era. It's not even close to
it. Let me react to that.
This is going to be the decisions that they are going to have to make on this team, top to bottom, whether it's financial, whether it's the kickers. It seems like the easiest decision to make right now is just to cut Jake Moody. But what do you do with Deebo Samuel? What are we going to be doing with Brandon Ayuk? What are we going to do with this offensive line that looked actually pretty decent yesterday for the most part without Trent Williams in the starting lineup, without some of your starting guys, without an Aaron Banks, et cetera, et cetera. So there's so much to get into. And this segment was brought to you by the Inn at the Tides. The Bayview restaurant is delighted to announce the return of their popular winemaker dinner series. Five evenings of exquisite wines from the best local vintners, expertly paired with a delicious four-course menu. Reserve your spot today at innatthetides.com. I'm Joe Spadoni, filling in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. You want more of your calls, more of your text. Reaction on the other side. Mark and Indy, Filmo Mike, Adrian Hayward. We'll get to all of you as the 49ers fall to the Detroit Lions 40-34. More of your reactions next, right here on 95.7
The Game. And get a great deal on the iPhone 16 Pro.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, I'm just speculating right now. I know everyone, when they hear about Brock's elbow and stuff, just like me, you think of the elbow injury from a couple of years ago. But, you know, just talking to doctors, he just got hit in the right spot. And when you get hit there, you just, your nerves go and you can't feel much. But hopefully it'll be all right.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Rose with Bonte and The Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Steph. Spadonian for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky. You heard from Kyle Shanahan there on the level of concern with Brock's injury. Looks like the UCL is okay. Might have just gotten hit in the funny bone spot, if you will. So we'll see. They're going to take some imaging and some MRIs today. Any news and info we get there, we'll relay it to you, obviously. We've got Warriors Future Focus going up here a little bit later as the Cavs took down the Warriors yesterday, 113-95. We're reacting to the Lions 40-34. Victory over the San Francisco 49ers at Levi's Stadium last night. Should Brock Purdy have played last night?
Is that a question?
That is an actual question.
Why?
What did he have to gain yesterday? We literally said it on the show. He has nothing to gain but everything to lose by playing. Why is he playing in these games?
Because that's what franchise quarterbacks still do, because Fred Warner's out there with a broken ankle. Because
should he have been playing then? Why is he playing with a broken ankle? Like, there's some of these questions now.
There's pride.
I
was actually going to take the complete opposite opinion. Mm-hmm. And like, I understand. And I think it's a fair point of view, what you're going at. Like, I do. I'm not here to say that your thought process is wrong. Because if you did end up hurting your franchise quarterback in a quote unquote meaningless game, people are going to rain down holy hell.
The same reason, and I'm not, sorry not to cut you off here. It's the same reason we're talking about like college athletes, stuff like that. I get it. It's a little bit different because this is their future and this is security. But it's also not when it comes to a guy like Brock Purdy, who's also should be worried about his future and security when it comes to money. If somehow, some way, and knock on wood, this doesn't happen, that he has this nerve damage that comes back on the imaging today, that could affect his future in the NFL.
No doubt.
But that, and then, yes, hindsight, it's always 20/20, but also, like, what did he have to gain, Joe Shasky, yesterday?
The other players on that team's respect, and the...
He's already earned that. He went to a Super Bowl with them.
No, I don't think you could be the highest paid player on the team. Not by a little bit, by a lot.
Jimmy right? was.
No, but when you're the highest paid player by a lot, there is a level of, like, I'm going to suit up with my troops and go through this crucible no matter what. Like, that's part of the thing that everyone's seeing now with Joe Burrow. Even though their playoff chances have been very, very minuscule, we've been just absolutely tantalized by the way he's playing, given all the adverse crap that's going on. You can't just front run when you're a leader, whether you're a coach, whether you're a quarterback, whatever. And I don't think on this team, with all the issues going on, Bosa could shut it down. No, Bosa's already highly paid. I can make the argument, because I've invested so much money in Bosa, maybe he should shut it down.
Same with Fred Warner.
But you can't go back into that huddle with those guys and say, hey, guys, when times are tough and you're dinged up, I need you to play through it, if I didn't do it as the quarterback. So I think it's really hard to do that. And I think it's easy. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I think it's easy to sit here and say, why did he play? But I was actually going to take the complete reverse opinion. I appreciated the hell out of the Niners' fight yesterday, even though they came up short. I appreciated the hell that Dan Campbell and his team had nothing to fight for and played as hard as they did. That's what makes the NFL the NFL, and I appreciated it.
Shanahan spoke yesterday after the game, and you were mentioning that word pride. He spoke about it. Were you playing for
pride? I was proud.
Were you playing for pride yesterday, Kyle Shanahan?
Try to approach the same way we approach every game. Try our hardest to win and try to play our best. I thought the guys played real hard. I thought they competed. I thought every chance to beat a real good football team there. Obviously, not everything was perfect. And I thought, we weren't able to slow them down enough on defense. It's a real good offense, but still thought we should slow them down a little bit more. Thought the difference in the game, though, was, you know, then obviously the type of game it was. They've been in a number of those games this year. But we had to win it in a shootout, and I thought the difference was our two turnovers and getting none. Once that happened, it kind of, that's why you end up losing by one score.
That was the difference in the game.
There's a credo I live by. It's called, like, respect the game, right? I tell this to all the kids that I coach. I try to use this as my own kind of barometer. I'm not pretending I'm some high-level athlete. That's not what I'm trying to say. But, like, my dad taught me, like, go out there and respect the game. And if you respect the game will respect you back. And there's times you're going to fall short. And times you're going to get a lip out as a putt that you miss. Or you're going to hit a line drive shot to the third baseman and knock it out of the batter's box. That's part of it. But every now and then, you're going to hit that blooper. And if you respect the game, you're going to get the benefit of the doubt, and the ball's going to start bouncing your way. And I know that sounds so stupid and so superstitious, but I'm a big believer in respecting the game. And if there are games to be played, within reason, you go out there and you play them and you respect the game. And would Ronnie Lott have suited up? Yeah. Would Joe Montana have suited up? Yeah, I think so. In fact, it was the anniversary of 1992 of when Joe Montana suited up against the Lions in his last ever game, coming in the second half when the Niners already had everything clinched, and it was his final appearance against that Lions team in a Niner uniform in backup duty against Steve Young. So, like, again, maybe I hold sports in just a different way than others, but I think you have to respect the game and go out there. That's my personal belief. And if you want to and you're able to, within reason, you play. And you play as hard as you can.
Let's squeeze some of these calls in before we get to our Warriors future focus. I want to get to Mark in Indy first and foremost, 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text, the Comcast Biz text line. Also hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, all powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Should Brock Purdy have played last night? Well, what's going on, Mark? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky in the Morning Roast.
Hey guys, how's it going?
What's up, man? I'm hurt. That loss on so many, like, I was so excited. I thought they were playing their butts off, and you could lose. I have no problem with you losing. It's not the end of the world. It's how it went down at the end. It's got me hurt.
How they lost. Let me say this, guys. I got one thing to say about Brock and one thing to say about Kyle. One thing to me this season showed us about Brock is great young quarterback. But he's got to have a running game. We ran the ball four times in the second half last night. Four times. Brock needs that running game. And I learned that Brock is not the quarterback that you can sit the whole weight of the offense on his shoulders.
Yes.
Say, Brock, go out and throw the ball 40 times and win us the game. He's not that guy. But if you ask Brock to throw the ball about 20 to 25 times, he can take you to the Super Bowl like he did last night. He's got to have that running game. Number two, I'm fine with Brock playing last night. But it's the way he played. We had two guys on the left side. One guy was on the practice team, and I think one guy they just got from who knows where. Why are we dropping back almost 40 times and throwing the ball with those two new guys? I'm fine with Brock playing. But Kyle, this is a meaningless game. Turn the ball off. Throw the ball maybe 20 times. Get out of there without injury. But the complicated, you threw the ball 40 times, and now we have to see if Brock is hurt. This year, this offseason is imperative for next year. Why? Because B.A. is not going to be ready until maybe the middle to the end of next year. So we're going to need Brock and Pearsall to have a great combination and for Pearsall to really step up. And for Pearsall to be able to step up, guys, he's going to have a good offseason with Brock.
Yeah.
But now that's in doubt for a game that didn't even matter.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. It's unfortunate that is. Pearsall was awesome last night. I'm really happy for him.
141 yards receiving and a touchdown for Ricky. Probably should have had two touchdowns with a better throw from Brock, but
yeah.
Nonetheless.
I thought that the play calling was fine. And the reason why I say that, I know you're going to look at the box score and say they dropped back way too many times. They didn't run. I think they ran 17 times or whatever. I'm just going to go 10 minutes to go, okay, when it's a one-score game. It's first and 10. They drop back to throw on first down because they were having success throwing on first down. He gets sacked. So now it's second and 15. Delay of game. Now it's second and 20. Okay? You got to throw again. It's second and 20. All right, you're trying to win the game. You got to throw again. Now it's third and five. All right, you got to throw again. So, like, All I'm saying is that if you actually go through down and distance and where they were at, it made a lot of sense. And I get you looking at, I get you look at the box score, quarterback got hurt at the end, and you say to yourself, like, they threw way too many times, what are they doing? But if you watch other quarterbacks around the league, when you're down a score, yeah, you're going to end up probably dropping back and throwing the ball more against a team where they had a graphic where there were 9 guys that were potential starters who weren't available because of injuries. They were a mass unit, Detroit.
See, that's why I was concerned for Brock. And if I was Brock's agent, I would sit down. I get it. It's not going to be a great look, as you were saying. Maybe it doesn't go well in the locker room. But you know what? It's going to help my finances going forward. After this team was living for the playoffs, I would have gone to Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch. He's like, you know what? I might have to shut it down this year. I've had some injuries already with my shoulder. Let's get this thing cleaned up potentially. If it needs to get cleaned up, let's start this process now. Because I can only lose money at this point if I'm Brock Purdy. Like, I can have a great first half like I did yesterday, Joe Shesky, and then I can have a disaster second half, and then I can get hurt on top of it. And now my money and my finances, my future could be in question, could be in doubt heading into this offseason.
Yeah, but part of playing on a team, like, I hear you, and I get you have to think
we
about...
We got Warriors future focus here in a second, so
I know you got to think about your family and your money and all that, but you also got to think about your teammates, right? And And I'm not trying to turn this into CYO or high school or college or anything, but you got to look in that huddle. And you can't be the signal caller in the huddle if you're the one that's tapping out and tell other guys, hey, when you're hurting and you're playing with a high ankle sprain, you know, Trent Williams or whatever, and it's December, I need you to suit up, right? Like, I think it's easy to say. I think it's harder to actually go out and do. You got it. If you're healthy enough to play and the doctors don't think you can get hurt, you know, or further injure whatever injury you might currently have, you respect the game and you out and play.
We're going to pick up this conversation on the other side. Filmo, Mike, Adrian, hey, we're going to get to you. We got Warriors Future Focus coming up here in just a few seconds as the Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Golden State Warriors last night, 113-95. Just an ugly, ugly game. That's twice now. They've just gotten absolutely boat raced. One in the first half against Cleveland, in Cleveland in the second half now at Chase Center. But go ahead and hit it, Sammy. Warriors Future Focus.
Let's focus on the Dubs' future. Warriors Future Focus is presented by Peralta Community College District with Laney, Berkeley City, Merritt, and the College of Alameda.
Well, at least one Moody in the Bay was doing something yesterday, Joe Shasky. Moses, parting the Red Sea, was leading the charge into the future last night with a team-high 19 points coming off the bench and gave the Warriors a brief lead after this three from the corner pocket.
True to the ball. Pass up top to Kuminga. Kuminga throws left wing to Moody. Moody put a pump fake and now shoots it over Mobley. It's up and good. Three ball left corner pocket for Moses Moody.
Yeah, he got Mobley to back up just enough.
Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert on the call right here on 95.7 The Game, your home for Golden State Warriors basketball. And that was Warriors Future Focus. And just like we love the future of the Dubs, Peralta Community College District encourages you to love your future too. Go to peralta.edu and apply today. I am a former Peralta student, so I highly recommend that. And all community colleges in California as well. Big supporter of that. Shout out Monterey Peninsula College as well.
Joe. You know, like, you're asking about the Brock Purdy thing, and I think it's fair. Like, a lot of people are going to ask, like, well, why did he play? I'm just a big believer, like, in life, when the chips are up against you, you do separate, you know, the front runners from the people that are truly made of championship material. And I don't mean like, oh, I win championships. I'm talking about championship level players like a Patrick Willis, okay? Like, you know, Buster Posey, for example, even though he ended up winning it all. Like, the truly great competitors, all right, are the ones that find a way, even when things are adverse, to suit up and they don't make excuses and they go out and they perform. And I think when you're a leader on a team or you want to be a leader on a team, you can't just front run. You have to be in the foxhole with your team when the chips are stacked against you. And I think that they, like, part of what made Joe Montana was he was the comeback kid when they were down 30 points against New Orleans in a meaningless game in a lost season of when they were going 7-9 or whatever in his second full season. Like, that comeback galvanized them for a decade, right? He could have easily packed it in. And I'm not trying to say that Brock is Joe Montana, but, like, that's what makes these guys. That's what makes the great competitors.
I have a response to that on the other side, and that's what's coming up on The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
All right.
Yeah. on that sack, I got hit on the backside, and yeah, basically just my arm was on fire kind of thing. And so I tried throwing a couple on the sideline, and I couldn't at that point. So yeah, it has nothing to do with tapping out of the game or anything like that. I love my teammates, and I'll go to the very end for them and this fan base and everybody. So that's what hurts me, is like I couldn't finish the game. But again, we'll see tomorrow.
This is Adam in the City, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Spadoni in for Bonte Hill alongside Joe Shasky here on The Morning Roast. That was Brock Purdy talking about leaving the game yesterday due to an elbow injury. Again, UCL appears to be okay. They ran some tests yesterday, but they're going to do some more imaging. MRIs being taken today. And again, any information, any and all, we will relay that to you. 888-957-9570. In the meantime, we're talking about that Detroit Lions victory over the San Francisco 49ers yesterday. 40-34, the final. And Joe, it almost looked like he was going to be in tears. Like, and that's what's concerning to me when I was watching that. Just watching and looking at his face, that hopefully it's not serious, but that's what scared me the most if I was a fan. Like, oh, he looks in disbelief. Now, maybe that's a culmination of things. Maybe it's just like, wow. Earlier in this calendar year, we were really in position to win a Super Bowl, and now we're just getting our asses kicked defensively, and now I have to miss the game, and the Lions are going to be 14-2, and we're 6-10, and we're going to be talking about the NFL draft here in another week, and our season's going to be over, and, you know, great, I might be getting paid, but it was just Brock's face on the sideline after he had to come out. It was like I was looking at the 49ers fan base almost. Like, just not quite in tears, but just looked punch drunk. Right? That's just
what else could go wrong.
Right?
Left tackle out. Generational running back out. Wide receiver one out. You know, middle linebacker who's one of, you know, on a short list of greatest linebackers in 49er franchise history. It looks nothing like the player that he was last year ever since the injury in whatever, week four, week five. He's been playing for 10 weeks and he looks completely compromised.
Without his partner in crime.
D. Winners getting up after every play like it's the final play of his career. I don't know what's going on. Talano Hufanga getting blown by. I mean, their defense was so bad. Jahmyr Gibbs looking like vintage Alvin Kamara meets Jamal Charles, while Jameson Williams is galloping anywhere he wants. They did a hook and ladder and scored. No one touched anyone.
It was bad. The Hufanga one, I'm glad you brought that up, because there was at no point, I was like, where's Hufanga? Until the very end at the 1 yard line, it just wasn't even close. I was like, I know you got a club on your hand, my guy, but your legs shouldn't be that compromised. Slow.
Nick Bosa was the only redeeming quality, maybe a couple Denny Amonor-Lenore plays.
Jordan Elliott had the block on the extra point.
Okay. We also had a fumble on special teams. We also had three separate special teams gaffes where we missed field goals and an extra point.
Oh, real quick.
And then offsides.
Well, the worst play last night on special teams wasn't even the missed field goals. It was the onside kick attempt.
That's the second one. That's the second time he's done that.
Jake Moody crushed that thing out of bounds, like me taking a free kick penalty in soccer.
Serious exit velocity on that one.
It was the worst onside kick attempt I've ever seen in my life.
That's the second one. Remember, Wisnowski earlier this year had the worst one we've ever seen. This was where Wisnowski topped it like it was a drive, like it was the opening tee of Pebble Beach where he paid $1,000 to play. And he just barely gets it past the red tees, and then literally Moody did the exact opposite and blasted it through. Like, dog, what are you doing?
Oh, maybe Jake Moody's going to have some more time to play at Pebble Beach these next few weeks, because he's damn sure not going to be on the San Francisco 49ers, I'll tell you that. This segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. Philmo, Mike, I'm going to get to you in just a second. We're going to hear from Brock Purdy at 7 o'clock. Big Boss Man's cutting up and splicing some of his responses in regards to his injury and some of his turnovers yesterday, and whether he should have played in the game at all. Listen, I'm saying it. I don't think he had anything to gain from playing in these final 2 weeks of the regular season. I don't. And that's when it's up to coaching, and it's up to the general manager, John Lynch, who showed more emotion in the booth than damn near the entire team for most of this season. He looked pissed. He looked angry. He looked emblematic of the entire fan base and how they're feeling at home yesterday. Just watching what he is. And I love the play-by-play again. Aikman and Buck, best in the business, just breaking it down how angry he is. He looked like he wanted to play yesterday in that game. But I don't think he should have played, and it's up to the front office and the head coach sometimes to protect players from themselves, because Brock hasn't looked right all year. He's been injured, he's been battered, he's been beaten, he's missed games. His shoulder, like, you've mentioned it multiple times, he had to crow hop that throw, that 40-yarder to Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah.
And a better throw, just a little bit more velocity on it. It's a touchdown walking in.
But he did make some nice throws.
He did.
On the final two-minute drive before the end of the half, he threw a dime to Guerrero up and over the top. He threw a dime to George Kittle. He had nice throws. And then he had some really bad throws. Nice throws, dude. Like, that's the part that's frustrating with Purdy. It's a huge mixed bag. It really is. Now, your point about the organization shutting them down, that's a different conversation. I'm talking about the player. So, like, I think that's a fair point. Like, they said this with Dre Greenlaw. Sometimes we have to protect Dre Greenlaw from himself. If the organization wants to not play the quarterback, I get it. I think they need to do their own due diligence, though, and be like, can this guy hold up for 17 games? Like, what does he look like when he has a dinged up shoulder and we go on a playoff run and we're paying him $55 million a year? See, I think part of their maybe reluctancy to shut him down is maybe they have the same questions I have.
Well, and that's concerning, because the whole reason we're even in this Brock Purdy situation, it's a trickle-down effect. The reason they moved off of Jimmy Garoppolo is because of the injuries. Couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Just could not stay. They won with him. Now, it looks, you know, there's the whole conversation. Is he a winning quarterback? This, that, and the other. And we spend thousands and thousands of hours talking about Jimmy Garoppolo ad nauseum. Well, we're not going to do that. But the main reason why they moved off of him and traded up to get Trey Lance, because he couldn't stay on the field.
Yeah.
And then he got Trey Lance, and then he couldn't get onto the field. And then when he did, he got hurt. And then you bring in Jimmy Garoppolo as a backup, he gets hurt, and then you're on Brock Purdy. Now all of a sudden, Brock Purdy's looking a little like, oh God, are we seeing another rerun here when it comes to another injured quarterback in the history of the injuries that we've had? That was just, hell, you can go back to Alex Smith and Colin Kaepernick. This has been a constant theme, Joe Shasky, as a 49ers organization, a 49ers quarterbacks just constantly just getting hurt. And it's pissing me off if I'm a fan.
I know, I hear you. And the part that sucks the most is you thought you were going to marry this guy with a 5-plus-year contract and he would be your 8-to-10-year solution. Now, I don't know how anyone could feel like this is your 8-to-10. I'm not saying you get rid of him. I'm not saying I'm done with him. I'm not saying this. Jared Goff at one point was at a crossroad in his career, all right? And then he completely bounced back. But I never had serious shoulder, elbow, arm questions with Jared Goff. That's your moneymaker. That's your moneymaker. And, like, you know, your confidence, your accuracy, those things can wane at times. Like, they can be a moving target, almost like a relief pitcher. You know what I mean? But your moneymaker? This is a big one.
Yeah, no. It is. Shout out Chris Moneymaker and, you know, going all in. Full Filmo Mike, he wants to start the conversation. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. Hit us up on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. What's up, Filmo? What you got, man?
Hey, man, I got a lot to unravel. But first of all, your name is so beautiful. Do not allow anybody to call you Spadone anymore. It's like calling San Francisco San Fran.
I appreciate that, man.
Real talk. My last name is Fontella. Somebody be like, Font. I'm like, nah, bro, you got to say the whole name, Fontella. Anyway, with that being said, Moody, let's get on him first.
I got
like three things to get on. Moody. So Debo came at you with the tough love. You didn't respond to that. Kittle came me with the softer approach. You know what I'm saying? There's two ways to lead, for real, for real. Draymond was talking some other stuff. It's two ways to lead. Either you're going to get on somebody or you're going to, you feel me, take a softer approach and try to, like, nurture them up.
Put your arm around them, yeah.
Yeah, neither of them worked. I don't know what to do with Moody. I don't know if you do an intense training camp battle with him. I don't know if you just let him go. Hutchinson said don't just let him go, but that was before the game. Also, the defense.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if it's a lack of talent or if it's the scheme. But 7-8 yards off the player, 10 yards off a player when it's 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5, why? Why not make it tough for them? You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, or switch it up. But to do it every time.
Filmo, before you move off that, it was 4th and goal from the 4-yard line, okay?
And they were
1,000 yards off of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's one of the great slot players in the game. He turned around and Troy was like, well, it was like a pivot route, but no one was guarding him. And he's just like, oh, I'll just back in. Then later on, at the 50-yard line on one of the final drives, Laporta's wide open on the exact same soft zone, backed off coverage play. And you could see they panned to John Lynch both times. John Lynch was ready to kill someone, just like I was. It made my head explode.
No, seriously. It's like, why are they this open on crucial plays in the down? I understand they like to run zone. Mm-hmm. Why not when it's 3rd and 5, 4th and 5, 4th and 8, 3rd and 8?
Clamp up.
Why not place the man?
Clamp up.
Switch it up. Do a cover shield. Do some Vic Fangio. One side man, one side zone. You feel me? Like, I don't get that. I got to give it up to, I got to give it up to Bosa.
He played good.
Bosa, now he's overpaid. Maybe we could do something. He probably won't do a restructure. I don't want to trade him because he played with heart, man. One thing about Bosa, man, you can say whatever you want. His limited abilities and stuff like that. He got shorter arms than most, you know, all that. But he played hard. He didn't have to come back into the game. He got hit. Did you see when they throwed it down?
Yeah.
What his head and neck did? I know he's sore today. For real, for real. So I got to give him that, Bill. But We got to do we have to get a better O-line, upgraded O-line. They didn't play that bad yesterday. We got to get a better O-line. And then we have to get a better defensive line, man. I don't know what happened. We used to build on the line, and we whiffed out with Thomas and Kinlaw. We got to get a stud back at defensive lineman, and we need a mixture of some youth, because we not to say that we look slow, because sometimes we look slow and sometimes we don't, but we need some youth, just like the Warriors kind of need that youth, and we also need some savvy all-pro, all-star Pro Bowl players, man. We got to fix it up. And last but not least, we've been disrespected like hell. They've been hitting the schmeeze on us. Somebody did. When you from the Bay, maybe the Niners players don't understand. We from the Bay. So we see somebody hit the schmeez, it's like, damn, that's a Bay Area dance. We see Geno Smith do the night-night. You feel me? They disrespecting the region, and they know what they doing. And
there he is. He was fired up. That's Phil Mo Mike right there. 888-957-9570.
You're so right.
Real quick, let me get legal here. Because you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Joe Shasky, we got Brian Baldinger joining us in 30 minutes. Baldy's breakdowns, you are not going to want to miss it. A lot to react to, but hard to fault what Philmo was saying there. I mean, was Leonard Floyd cleared to play yesterday? He just didn't play? Did we get any, like...
He stinks. It wouldn't have made much of a difference.
He's supposed to be your second best player on the defensive line. No one's talking about him. You invested the money in him. What?
That play?
He stinks.
Where Nick Bosa?
Look, real quick. That's why I have a hard time getting on Nick Sorensen, because the team might just stink defensively.
No, I know.
The players might just suck.
It's one thing if guys are getting burnt and like left in their dust. It's another thing when I watch and your schematics are like, what are you doing? Clearly John Lynch, who's played at a high level and played secondary, was like, what are we doing with this zone coverage? Am I wrong?
No, you're
wrong.
It
wasn't just like, oh, a guy made a great play on another guy who's draped on him.
But that's
just a better player.
That's Kyle Shanahan, though. Isn't the wide nine his baby?
Oh, that needs to go complete. Like, where's the piece of paper here? Let me do the auditory sound. Wide nine and whatever this Seattle scheme is. Throw it in the garbage. Get it out of here.
You're like the Warriors last night. You missed
a complete reshuffling. Let me read you two stats. Because Nick Bosa got hit yesterday, and in that hit where his shoulders came in, where Okawanu hit him, that looked like a Dennis Byrd type play. You don't know? Do you know Dennis Byrd? Do you remember this?
No.
Okay. He was a New York Jet defensive lineman or outside linebacker, and he got hit by his own teammate going around a quarterback, and he got paralyzed.
Oh,
yeah, and it was the same thing where his head went in and it broke his neck in the back. That was that kind of a scary hit.
No, and again, that's stuff like that. You have that much money invested in a guy like Nick Bosa. Again, he played great yesterday. I would be okay with guys like that. Maybe if Kittle wants to like win the, again, like I said, the tight end, the yardage leader at the end of the season, play him. If he can get it, great. If not, just shut it down. Like some of these players next week, last night was a meaningless game. Next week is for sure a meaningless game in Arizona. Real quick, Joe Shasky, because we've been teasing it all, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Brock Purdy, after the game, his injury status, how he is feeling, the turnovers, all of that. Shout out Big Boss Man for cutting this up, splicing up real quick. Here's Brock Purdy, I'll play it, Sammy, after the game last night, talking to the media.
Indication about the status of your elbow?
Nothing right now. We're going to get an MRI tomorrow and see. So.
Concerned to you at this point?
I mean, it doesn't feel the best, but just leave it at that. So we'll see you tomorrow.
Can you describe what happened?
On that sack, I got hit on the backside, and basically just my arm was on fire kind of thing. And I tried throwing a couple on the sideline, and I couldn't at that point. So, yeah, it has nothing to do with tapping out of a game or anything like that. I love my teammates, and I'll go to the very end for them and this fan base and everybody. So that's what hurts me is, like, I couldn't finish the game. But, again, we'll see tomorrow.
Your arm's on fire. Is that similar pain to what you had in Philly?
A little bit, but we did some tests with, like, UCL stuff, and I'm good in that regard. But we just got to go get imaging on it tomorrow and see the whole thing. So
Coach Carson had mentioned that it was more of a nerve thing, kind of like loose feeling, which puts me in the mind of, like, hitting your funny bone. Or are you saying, being that it was on fire, it was like a sharp pain shooting a Darian Con?
No, it was in the moment. Like I said, it just felt, I don't know, heavy in a sense. So tomorrow we'll have an answer. So I'll leave it at that.
Now, obviously, health is going to dictate, but do you really want to, you know, push to playoffs?
100%. If we got a game, regular season game, that we have an opportunity to suit up and we're healthy, man, yes. For my guys, for this organization, I want to finish the season with our guys.
Can you even relate to some of the outside noise that players should sit out a game to retain their health going into the next season? That's something you can even comprehend.
I don't even know if that's really a thing. I don't know for sure if that's even a thing in the NFL. Obviously, college with, like, you know, going into the draft and stuff. But with, you know, we're in a professional level, and this is as good as it gets. So for me, it's like, why wouldn't I play for my team and try to get some momentum going for the next year with our guys and make a statement to everybody here and that's going to be here next year that, you know, I'm a competitor and I want to be out in the field any chance I get. So that's my mindset.
He's the future of the team, and that was Brock Purdy after last night's game talking about everything. You are the future of this team. We are going to invest maybe $50 to $60 million in you. Yes, that has to come into the equation, whether or not to play you in these last few games. If I'm investing that much and I'm playing in meaningless football games, like you mentioned Joe Burrow is still technically playing for something. If the Niners were technically still in the playoff picture, it's one thing, but they're not. They've been out. They're cooked. They're done. There's no point in playing a guy who's already missed a game this year, who's already had multiple arm injuries, who may be dealing with off-season surgery. There was no point in playing last night or playing in next week for sure. If he plays next week, that is organizational malpractice if he plays next week.
Okay, I just want to make sure that I'm clear on this.
Makes no sense.
So only when your interests are completely aligned.
It's the organization's interests. They are paying him. They are going to be paying him and potentially resetting the quarterback market.
But they can't control that kind of, like, if
it's, no, they can't control. Don't play him.
Well, I would say to take the other point of view.
The season's cooked.
Like, the great players of all time play when there's nothing to play for. You still, if you can. It's one thing if you have a broken leg and you can't physically play. It's another thing if, like, hey, I'm requiring off-season shoulder surgery for sure, and I need to, like Dak, for example. Dak was going to have a surgery, and he needed to get shut down so that he can be ready for all the OTAs and the minicamp. Like, that's a different conversation. If they believe that the doctors that he's healthy enough and he's not going to ruin his off-season and all that, no, you play. You play. I'm sorry. You play. That's my personal belief. And the other part is like, because of the tackle that hurt him, like, that, it gives me even more caution on wanting to pay you. Like, I don't just pay anyone $60 million a year because you played good 2 years ago. I play you based off what I think you can do moving forward. And then also, like, when I pay you $60 million, and let's say we start off 1-6. Oh, do I shut you down again? I'm paying you $60 million a year. Like, I already did it once. Should I do it again? Like, no, I'm sorry. I disagree on that.
Should Brock Purdy have played last night or not? And should he make the decision, or Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch make the decision? Like, that's the one for me right now, is the decision and all that. That's one thing for Brock to want. He clearly wants to play. But parting, and you're a father now, so we'll go to this. Part of being a parent or being in charge of someone or being a coach, being a boss, we got Big Boss Man helping Sam Lumber in the back. Like, you got to protect your assets, protect your children, protect your employees from themselves at times. And at this point, when there's literally nothing to play for when it comes to a playoff picture, playoff scenario, like, this team has been at the highest of highs with Brock Purdy. I have no doubts that he can get you back to the Super Bowl again, because I've seen it. I know he can get you back there. So he's already answered the hardest parts of the test for me. Right now, the only question marks I have are health-related when it comes to Brock Purdy.
Which is why I want to see him play and finish the season out.
No, that's why you don't want him to play right now, is to protect him from himself, because clearly, he has issues staying healthy.
But he was playing brilliant in that game.
Until he wasn't.
I know. And so, like, had he never went down, would this even be a conversation? And it was one of the final plays of the game.
No, but he did go down. That's the problem.
Well, I would say that I'm more concerned by the nature of a very innocuous sack getting him injured that much. Like, that gives me way more pause than the actual event of him getting injured. Like, how he got injured is way more dramatic than them choosing whether or not to play him. You're healthy enough, you play. Like, quarterbacks lead. You have to lead by example. You have to go out there and play. You can't just play when you're front running and everything's going well and you have a playoff spot. Detroit had nothing to play for. They played everyone that they have, and they are more depleted than any other playoff team out there.
See, I disagree with that. They needed to feel, they could not have afforded to take a mini bye week this week heading into the biggest game of their lives next week at Detroit against their division rival. They needed it. It was rest versus rust for me. They could not be rusty heading into that game next week. I see. They needed to play yesterday. It was, thank God they did, because they have some holes on that defense. If you're Detroit watching that game last night, yeah, I think they learned a lot from what Kyle Shanahan and co did to that defense.
You really think that, like, let's just say in this hypothetical, Brock doesn't suit up in these games, like, You don't think that A is a knock against him just in general, and B, other guys aren't looking at him side-eyed like, really, dude, you're going to shut down? I'm out here playing with a broken ankle. I'm playing through family adversity. Bosa's got multiple torn obliques, and this guy's not going to play, and he's going to get paid twice as much as the highest paid player on the team.
You know what you say?
I don't think that lands well in the locker room. Brock's,
you know, he's had some shoulder issues this year. He's obviously had some health issues with that elbow. We're going to, you know, shut him down right now to conserve him. We look forward to having him in training camp next year. And, you know, we're going to pay him. We want Brock to be our quarterback, and we're going to go through negotiations. That's what you say. And you know what? They're going to follow suit, because those guys love Brock Purdy. He's beloved in the locker room. And that's where I fall on the sword if I'm Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, so it doesn't look like it's Brock. So that's what I go through the media and say, you know, we're going to protect Brock himself. We're going to shut him down. And, you know, some of these other guys are going to shut down too. So it doesn't look as bad if I shut down Fred Warner and a Nick Bosa and a George Kittle, some of these guys. We're up against it, 888-957-9570. Should the decision to bench Brock Purdy or shut him down the rest of the year, let's say shut him down because bench sounds a little extreme, should the decision to shut down Brock Purdy be Brock's decision or Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch's heading into next week? 888-957-9570. Plus, we got Brian Baldinger coming up at 7:30. He's going to be joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And what's coming up on the game is sponsored by the all-new Honda of Vallejo. It's more of your calls, more of your texts, 888-957-9570. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the Morning Roast, 95.7 The Game.